Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a jungle air horn hit and making it work like a real composition tool inside Ableton Live 12, not just a cheesy drop sound. We're going for that gritty, syncopated system test energy where the horn locks into the break, talks to the bass line, and actually becomes part of the tune. The big idea here is simple. In drum and bass, timing is everything. A horn dropped straight on the grid can feel pasted on, but once you warp it, trim it, and make it swing with the drums, it starts sounding intentional. It starts sounding like it belongs in the record. So first, pick a horn sample that already has attitude. You want a short hit with a sharp attack and some bite in the upper mids. It does not need to be pristine. In fact, a little roughness helps. If it's too clean, we can dirty it up later. If it's too long, we'll fix that with warping and editing. Drag the sample into an audio track, and for this lesson, stay in the clip view so you can shape the warp behavior directly. Once the clip is loaded, turn warp on. For tonal air horn, Complex Pro is usually the best starting point. It keeps the pitch movement and time stretching sounding more natural, especially if you're going to bend it into a phrase. Now tighten the start marker so it lands right on the transient. Don't leave dead air in front of the hit. In jungle, late is weak. Immediate is dangerous. You want the horn to speak fast, like it knows exactly where the downbeat is. If the sample feels too polite, nudge the formants a little upward. That can give it a more urgent brass edge. If the tail feels smeared, reduce the envelope a bit and keep the warp settings focused on preserving the front of the hit. The goal is not to make the sample perfect. The goal is to keep the impact crisp while the body stays controllable. Now let's make it swing. This is the move that separates a pasted-in effect from a real jungle element. Load a break with a strong groove on another track, then extract or apply its swing to the horn clip using the groove pool. If you already have a swung drum loop, drag its groove into the groove pool and apply it to the horn. Start with something around 55 to 75% groove amount and listen carefully. The trick here is to think like a drummer, not just a sample editor. You want the horn to feel like it's being pulled by the break. If it feels stiff, it probably means you're still thinking in grid terms. In jungle, the break is the timing reference. Let the drums teach the horn where to land. After that, adjust the placement by ear. You can push it slightly ahead for urgency or tuck it just behind the snare for a heavier, darker pull. Both approaches work, but they create different attitudes. Ahead feels sharp and aggressive. Behind feels ominous and weighty. Next, shape the transient. A jungle horn needs a hard front edge, but it cannot smear the mix. Add drum bus or saturator after the clip. With drum bus, try a little drive and a healthy amount of transient enhancement, but keep the boom low or off. With saturator, use soft clip and a moderate drive setting to bring out harmonics and make the horn read on smaller speakers. If the hit is too spiky, use a glue compressor with a fast attack and medium release, and only aim for a couple dB of gain reduction. You're not flattening it. You're just making it sit up straight in the mix. Think punchy, not crushed. Now comes the part that makes this feel like composition instead of sound design. Phrase it. Don't just throw in one horn hit and call it done. Build a small motif. Try an answer phrase that lands after the snare every second bar. Or create a pickup into the drop, where a short horn hit leads into the full hit on bar one. Or make a call and response with the bass line. The horn can ask the question and the bass can answer. If you're triggering it from MIDI, keep the notes sparse and intentional. A single hit might work in an intro, but in the drop you want the horn to relate to the rest of the rhythm. That means space, repetition, and contrast. Then add movement. Use automation or clip envelopes to make the horn evolve over the phrase. A low pass or band pass filter opening over four bars is a classic move. You can also dip the gain slightly before the hit, then let it snap back up for impact. A tiny pitch drop on the tail, like 1 to 3 semitones, can give it that old school rave wobble. Just keep it subtle. We want attitude, not cartoon chaos. A good arrangement trick is to keep the early version filtered and restrained, then reveal the full range version later in the tune. That contrast makes the tune feel bigger without adding more material. Now, once the processing feels right, resample it. This is one of the best advanced Ableton habits you can build. Print the horn to a new audio track that lets you commit to the sound, trim the tail, and treat it more like a drum hit. It also keeps you from endlessly tweaking the warp settings and losing the raw energy that made it work in the first place. After resampling, consolidate the clip, trim the tail, and add tiny fades so there are no clicks. Now you can duplicate it, reverse it, or chop it into ghost hits. This is where the horn becomes a real arrangement object. Place it against the drums and bass with purpose. A strong move is to put the horn right after a snare, so you get that snare then horn then bass chain. You can also place it before a snare to create anticipation, or at the end of a 16-bar phrase to signal a switch-up. In a dance beat and B-mix, even a few milliseconds matter. If the horn and snare are too close, they can blur. If that happens, shift one of them slightly until both read clearly. Also watch the bass. If your bass line is heavy in the mids, carve a little space around the horn's presence area. The horn needs room to speak, especially around the upper midrange. Keep the sub clean and leave that zone for the kick and low end. A horn should command attention without fighting the foundation. For space, use restraint. Short reverb on a send works better than drowning the horn directly. A little pre-delay helps the transient stay in front, and a filtered reverb return stops the highs from getting splashy. A subtle delay can also glue the horn into the groove, but keep it filtered and quiet. In the drop, dry usually hits harder. In the breakdown, you can open up the space a little more for drama. And finally, check mono. This is crucial. If the horn sounds massive in stereo but falls apart in mono, it's not really finished. Keep the core hit centered or close to centered. If the stereo image feels too wide or smeared, narrow it a bit, reduce the wet signal, and make sure the transient still cuts through. In drum and bass, mono compatibility is not optional. It's part of the discipline. A few mistakes to watch for here: warping too loosely, making the horn too long, over-widening the sound, and drowning it in reverb. Also, don't let it fight the bass line just because you love the sample. If it's stepping on the kick, snare, or sub, it's not serving the track, and if you're still tweaking after it already feels good, commit. Print it. Move on. Keep the energy alive. If you want to push this further, try layering a second horn quietly an octave down, or create a reversed pickup before the main hit. You can also add a ghost horn a 16th note early, so the main hit feels even bigger. Another smart move is to automate the horn so it decays as the bass comes back in. That handoff creates a proper jungle machine feeling. Here's the challenge: build a 32-bar phrase using one horn sample in three different roles. Use a filtered version in the intro, a punchy groove-matched version in the drop, and a reversed or automated version for the transition. Resample one of them, check the whole thing in mono, and make one final adjustment for clarity. The goal is not just to make a horn sound loud. The goal is to make it feel like part of the record's language. When you do that, the horn stops being a cliché and starts becoming a real DNB weapon. Now let's get into Live 12 and make it hit.